The following sermon, entitled Called a Nazarene, was preached on the evening of December 26, 2021, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. If you enjoyed listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on upcoming service times and Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Our scripture reading this evening is found in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll read that entire chapter. Our text is found in the very last verse, so we won't reread that. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod. He was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And now are the words of our text. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in order for Jesus to be our Savior, it is obvious that he must not only be born, but he must also offer himself a perfect sacrifice. And that's what he did. Jesus Christ was sacrificed on the cross for you and for me. Just as the Old Testament prophets had prophesied concerning him. One of the striking things about the gospel according to Matthew is how often Matthew refers to prophecy. Matthew was written more to a Jewish audience and therefore sought to show how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all of the prophecies in Old Testament scripture. And so you find that phrase over and over, the phrase that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. And then it might say spoken of the Lord by the prophet, or in our text, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophets. You find that phrase repeatedly in Matthew to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. Jesus is that anointed one that all of the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied would come. Jesus is that one who would take upon himself human flesh and suffer for our sakes. The fulfillment of prophecy proves that Jesus is he who saves us from our sins. In God's providence, and in fulfillment of those prophecies that God gave, in God's providence, the wise men came from the east. And when they came looking for Jesus, they first went to Jerusalem, looking for him who was born the King of the Jews. And when Herod heard of the wise men and heard their request, that caused him great concern. All of that was in God's providence, so that Herod, in his wickedness, even sought to kill that one who was born King of the Jews. God, of course, warned Joseph and Mary to flee into Egypt. And then after Herod had died, the angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph and Mary and told them to return to the land of Israel. If it had been up to Joseph and Mary, they probably would have settled back in Bethlehem, but they were warned of the angel in a dream not to settle in Bethlehem. They had heard also that Archelaus, who was the son of that other wicked Herod, was ruling in the stead of his father. So they didn't want to settle in that region, in God's providence. Instead, they went up to Nazareth and settled in that town. Evidently, God wanted Jesus to be raised in Nazareth. Not just because it was the fulfillment of a random prophecy, but for a reason. And that's the reason given in our text. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. We take that as our theme, called a Nazarene. Let's note in the first place the prophecy. Secondly, the significance of that prophecy. And then the comfort that gives to us. The striking truth of our text is that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to settle in Nazareth, and that was for our salvation. The prophets had declared, that's the text, the prophets had declared, he shall be called a Nazarene. As I alluded to in the introduction, that was not just a random, insignificant prophecy concerning Jesus. That would be unworthy of God to have Old Testament prophets prophesy something about Jesus that was absolutely insignificant would be unworthy of God. We would not expect prophets in the Old Testament to prophesy concerning something so insignificant, say, as the hair color of Jesus or how tall he was. The prophecies of Scripture must have a significance. And so the fact that Jesus would be called a Nazarene has to have great significance. It must be an integral part of the work of his salvation that he would bring. And now the question is, do you know where that prophecy is found? Do you know where it is in the Old Testament it is prophesied that he shall be called a Nazarene? Well, if you searched, you would search in vain for a phrase in the Old Testament that said, he shall be called a Nazarene. There is no specific prophecy in the Old Testament that proclaims that truth. Children, do you think that Matthew made a mistake? No. It's impossible that one who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit would make a mistake in speaking of a prophecy. Impossible. The Holy Spirit made sure that what Matthew wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit was the very Word of God. And therefore, the prophets did speak this prophecy. He shall be called a Nazarene. So how do we explain this prophecy? Well, notice in the first place, if you look at the words of the text, Matthew does not say, as the prophet, singular. Sometimes he refers to the prophet Jeremiah or the prophet Isaiah. Matthew does not say anything like that. He does not say, as the prophet said, but as the prophets, plural. The Old Testament prophets, something that they proclaimed about Jesus. They did not say, those prophets in the Old Testament did not say the phrase of our text, but they proclaimed the truth of our text. What they said about Jesus was fulfilled when Jesus was called a Nazarene. What does it mean that Jesus was called a Nazarene? Not that he was a Nazarite. Some commentators point to that idea, that Jesus was completely devoted to the work of God, which was absolutely true about Jesus. He was absolutely devoted to his Father, but that's not the fulfillment of the prophecy. Rather, our text plainly declares the meaning of the prophecy. The prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus went to dwell in Nazareth. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. But that still doesn't settle the significance, and we'll get to that in our second point. It doesn't tell us why it is. And to understand something of that, we must understand the origin of the name Nazareth. Most commentators agree that the town called Nazareth is based on the Hebrew word netzer. And that Hebrew word stands for a twig, a sprout, a little sucker branch, a small outgrowth from a larger stump. The town of Nazareth was in some way an insignificant twig. It was not a stately and honorable tree, but an insignificant little twig. And the prophecies concerning Jesus being called a Nazarene are connected to Nazareth being an insignificant and even a despised town. It's striking. Throughout Jesus' ministry, over and over again, you find Jesus identified as Jesus of Nazareth. Throughout his whole ministry, Jesus of Nazareth. When Jesus hung on the cross, what was the superscription on the top of the cross? Jesus of Nazareth. And even after Jesus had risen again, we'll quote later from that when he appears to the Apostle Paul. He identifies himself as Jesus of Nazareth. What's the significance of Jesus growing up in Nazareth? Just this. To say he shall be called a Nazarene is to say that he would be despised and rejected. And the fact that Jesus would come from the town of Nazareth would add to his being despised and rejected. That's what the Old Testament prophets said about Jesus. That was fulfilled when he went and dwelt in Nazareth. The prophets of the Old Testament all foretold that he would be despised and rejected. We could go through one scripture after another, and I give only three examples. Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's Isaiah. Psalm 22, verse 6, prophecy pointing forward to Jesus Christ, says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Psalm 118 speaks of the stone which the builders refused. They despised that stone. And now, to understand that despising of Jesus, we need to understand that Nazareth was found in the region of Galilee. Children, you remember where Galilee is? In Israel, there's Judah and then Samaria, and up at the top was Galilee. Nazareth was found in Galilee. And if you talked to the Jews in that day, especially the Jews from Judea, around Jerusalem, the Jews in general had a negative opinion of Galilee. Galilee was a despised region. Galilee, far away from the schools in Jerusalem, Galilee was where the uneducated Jews lived. When the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, the people who heard the disciples were amazed that they were speaking in other languages, because the Galileans had a reputation of being unschooled. Acts 2, verse 6 says, Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, because saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? It was amazing enough to be speaking in other languages, but to have Galileans speaking in these other languages? These are unschooled, ignorant people. And not only that, Galilee in the north was where the Jews mixed with the Gentiles. In Jerusalem, in Judea, they thought themselves they were the pure people. Those people up in Galilee That was a land of spiritual darkness. So you find, for example, in Matthew 4, verse 15, this reference to Galilee, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It's called Galilee of the Gentiles because they mixed with the Gentiles up there. And then verse 16 of Matthew 4 goes on, the people which sat in darkness. People thought of Galilee as the land of darkness, far away from that religious center in Jerusalem. There's one other reference to Galilee. When Nicodemus was disputing with other Pharisees, they answered and said to Nicodemus, "Art thou also from Galilee? Are you also ignorant and uneducated?" So the Jews thought of Galilee as a despised region. But now if you went to the Galileans, so now we're going to go up to that region of Galilee. And if you ask the Galileans, what do you think of the town of Nazareth? And if you asked a Galilean what they thought of that town, they would say, Nazareth. They despise Nazareth. In fact, Nathanael, when the disciples came and said to Nathanael, "We have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael gave his opinion of Nazareth. John 1, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Anybody with a sense of dignity, as Nathanael had, had a negative view of Nazareth. But that's where Jesus grew up, in that despised city of Nazareth. And amazingly, those people in Nazareth, if you ask them what they thought about Jesus, they despised him. When Jesus came to Nazareth, at the beginning of his ministry and spoke in the synagogue, he opened up the scriptures and read from a portion of Isaiah and said to the people, "This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears." And he preached to them the gospel. And those people of Nazareth despised him. They did not receive him. They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son, Joseph's son?" Certainly nothing special. They despised him and sought to push him off a cliff. Such was the nature of their despising. But now take that all together. those despised people in Galilee despised the people of Nazareth, and they in turn despised Jesus. And we have, as it were, at the center of the bullseye of being despised, and that's Jesus, the most despised of all. How appropriate that Jesus would grow up in Nazareth, that he would come from that place which is called after a twig, an insignificant branch. How appropriate that the prophecies that spoke of that branch, Jesus Christ, I say, how appropriate that Jesus would come out of Nazareth. Isaiah 11, verse 1 speaks of that branch, that netzer, that Hebrew word. 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesus is that branch, that little twig, that despised little shoot. Insignificant in man's eyes, but extremely significant, of course, because in that Jesus is our salvation. Not only did the prophets foretell that Jesus would be despised, beloved, it is to our comfort that he grew up in Nazareth and was despised for your sakes and for my sake. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of that. It was for our sakes. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's our comfort, that all of Jesus' life, being the most despised of all, his rejection was for our sakes. He was despised and rejected so that we would be accepted of God among his beloved. He experienced the curse of God so that you and I could experience the blessing of God. The Jews expected a king who would come with earthly glory, but Jesus was rejected so that he could have a kingdom of heavenly glory and could bring us into that kingdom. Jesus of Nazareth, the very name then ought to comfort us. His being despised was for our sakes. But now Jesus did not stay in that state of humiliation. That title refers to Jesus being despised, but he did not stay there. The branch did not remain that insignificant little shoot. It may have been, when you think about the great tree of David that was cut down to the stump, it looked insignificant, but the little branch would grow up. And that idea of growing up is that it would grow and bear fruit. It would not remain insignificant anymore, but it would bear the fruit of bringing salvation to God's people, to you and to me. And we find that idea throughout Scripture. That insignificant, despised shoot grows up into a great and glorious kingdom that bears fruit. Or the picture of the stone which the builders refused. Wanted nothing to do with that stone. God takes that stone and makes it the head of the corner, upon which corner the whole church of Jesus Christ is built, so that all who are joined to that stone have life. All who are connected to that tree have life in Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, despised and rejected, didn't stay in the grave, but he came through the other side of the grave, as it were, rose again, and is exalted in heaven. And now in heaven, the exalted Jesus gathers his church, rules over all things for the sake of the church. What a comfort is Jesus of Nazareth, who now reigns in glory. In the meantime, while we wait for him to bring us into glory, we ought not be surprised that just as Jesus of Nazareth was despised, we also will be despised by the world. That ought not to surprise us in the least that we are also despised. But then we ought to remember that the despised Jesus, after his humiliation, he was exalted. And so too, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. After our dwelling on the earth, he will exalt us to be with himself. When we face persecution and difficulties and hardship and grief in this world, remind ourselves there is something much, much better that Jesus of Nazareth has prepared for us. He will bring us to be with himself one day. We are but pilgrims and strangers in this world. We are followers, and that is something that Christians were called in that day, followers of the sect of the Nazarenes. We are followers of that man from Nazareth. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is not despised anymore in glory, not by his people, certainly. Jesus of Nazareth is a name then that points to his victory over sin and Satan and death. And then lastly, beloved, Jesus of Nazareth the fact that he was despised and rejected points to the fact that he was willing to go through that despising for us who were sinners. Jesus being willing as the Son of God, taking on human flesh to go and live in the town called Nazareth, and to grow up his whole life and then to be despised and rejected of men, he was willing to do that for sinners, such as you and I are. Jesus of Nazareth is not ashamed to associate with sinners, and even to call sinners to himself. Paul tells us of his own conversion. Paul, before called Saul, who persecuted believers, who killed Christians, called himself the chief of sinners. And Jesus of Nazareth came to him. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. He says, "It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me, and I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Jesus of Nazareth was not ashamed to go to that chiefest of sinners and call him to himself. And so, beloved, that points to the fact that the chiefest of sinners cannot say, "But my sins are too great for Jesus of Nazareth." All who call upon him, believing in him for salvation, he will in no wise cast out. Those, of course, will be the elect whom Jesus of Nazareth by his Spirit works in their hearts. But what a comfort that Jesus of Nazareth was despised and rejected for sinners. That's the gospel that the prophets proclaimed when they said, "He shall be called a Nazarene." He will be despised and rejected, but he will bring salvation. Trust in him then, beloved. Trust him for all of our salvation. Trust that he was despised and rejected for your sake. And then rejoice in him. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give thee thanks for Jesus of Nazareth, who loved us and gave himself for us that we may have life. Grant to us, O Lord, that we may rejoice in that gospel, that he was despised and rejected for our sakes. Lead and guide us, we pray, all of our lives, that we may live lives of thankfulness, even when we ourselves may be despised and rejected by those around us. Grant to us thy grace. Cause us, we pray, to be carried on in our pilgrimage towards heaven. Guard, guide, and protect us in this world, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.